Ephesians chapter 4, let's talk about forgiveness. That's our topic for today, forgiveness. Prayer is kind of like a parked car, doesn't move. You know, you need to get out of park and drive a while, and if you head in the wrong direction, you can turn around and do something different. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, we'll start with. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, all of those words in verse 31, it says to put those away, to banish those, to abolish those, to take those away, to remove those. Bitterness is when you poison yourself and hope somebody else is injured by that. If you poison yourself, you'll be the one injured. Wrath and anger, one of those words has to do with smoldering wrath and anger that just is like coals of fire. The other one has to do with explosions of anger. And it doesn't matter if you explode or you smolder. We're going to put all of that away. Clamor is when you just won't shut up. You just talk. She did and I didn't. She did and I said and she did and I said and they said and I said. And you just can't get over it. And you just talk. It's an outcry. It's a tumult of words. Evil speaking you recognize. And then malice is a bitterness with the intent to see that somebody else is harmed. But it says we're going to put all of those away. And here's what we're going to do instead. We're going to be kind, tenderhearted, which is the word for compassion or sympathy, and forgive one another. Here's God's directive. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're going to forgive just like God forgave. That's interesting, isn't it? That's the command of the scripture. So it's not an optional command. That's the word of the Lord. That's what God said. He said, you do it like I do it. Now, if you have an assistant, somebody who is supposed to follow in your footsteps that you want to duplicate you exactly, you're going to find out they're not going to be able to. I know some really fine helpers and assistants that do that with great polish, and yet you're going to have times in which you're going to miss the flow of that person that's in charge, and you're not going to do exactly what they told you to do. That doesn't mean you're going to give up if that's your job. It doesn't mean you're going to quit or surrender. It means you have a goal, and that's to follow that boss, to keep their directive, to see that they're accomplished all their goals and dreams, to see that their report is absolutely perfect, to do your part, to step into their footsteps. And God said, I want you to do your part, to step into my footsteps. And he said, I'm going to furnish you with the Holy Ghost so you can do that. Without the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be able to do that. If you're angry about something, bitter about something, full of words and can't shut up about something, you're not going to be able to do that by willpower. There's not too many people that can just say, I'm just not going to talk about it again and do that successfully. You might last 5 minutes. And then somebody else said, have you seen so-and-so lately? I thought y'all were good friends. And you're going to have more words. You know, because the devil has ambassadors. He has people that he sends to irritate you and to make sure that you're reminded of your irritation. But it says, we're going to forgive as God forgave, as Christ forgave. Well, look at Luke 23 and let's see how they forgave. We're going to do this God's way, and we're going to do it by the help of the Holy Ghost of God. Chapter 23, verse 33. This is the crucifixion of Jesus. It's very graphic. It helps us in this matter of forgiveness. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, or the place of the skull, there they crucified him and malefactors, one on his right hand and the other on his left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He asked for forgiveness for his enemies. We have a concept of forgiveness. If you forgive me, I'll forgive you. If you ask for forgiveness, then I can forgive you. But if you're mean and ugly and belligerent and you don't care what I do, if I drop off the map, that's no concern of yours, then we're not too concerned about forgiving. Forgiving is the command of the scripture, carte blanche, across every line. It doesn't matter what the other person is doing. You can't do what they're doing if they're not following God. And you certainly can't dictate to them. You know you need to repent. And you can say it, but it probably won't go over. Have you ever tried that? They're probably not interested in what you think. So I'm the person I can take care of. And I'm the person that's going to forgive as God forgave. And God said here they had crucified him. They had lied about him, railed against him, and crucified him. And he wanted them forgiven. Forgiven when something is removed. And the first place we remove it from is our mind. We remove it from our memory. You know what we do is with the words of our mouth, we rehearse it. She said, and then I said, but we're going to remove that from our memory and remove that from our mind and from our heart. We're going to forgive. Now look at Luke chapter 6. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't be use teaching this lesson if we didn't have the Holy Ghost to assist us. Verse 37. It says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. No, we're not going to judge the situation. To judge something is decide guilt or innocence. I said, don't do that. Number one, you can't see the heart of the other person. Sometimes what we said is not what we meant. Sometimes our action even is a discouragement to us. We wish we hadn't said it, wish we hadn't done it, and we won't admit it. You ever been there? I hope not. It says, don't judge them. You're not qualified. You know, I know I'm not qualified to sit on any circuit court or any other kind of court. I'm not qualified. I don't have the legal standing. I don't have the knowledge. And God said, you don't know what I know about them, and you don't have the knowledge to judge them. Stay out of it. So what he tells us to do is not to judge. It's not to condemn. When you condemn someone, you pronounce them guilty, and you have a certain sentence, a certain thing that you want to see happen to them. I hope they suffer. I hope they get what's coming to them. You ever thought that? And God said, don't do that. Well, then he says, forgive. In other words, we're going to blot this out. We're going to erase it. We're not going to think about it anymore. Now look at Isaiah 43. Webster's dictionary says, forgive is to pardon an offender by which he is considered as not guilty and treated as not guilty. When you forgive, they're no longer considered guilty in your eye. Now here's what God does. Verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. If you're going to forgive like God does, you're going to blot it out. It's like writing something on the board and then erasing it. No longer any memory of it. Blot it out. Remove it. For mine own sake. You're doing this for your sake. You're doing this because unforgiveness is going to cripple you and it's going to cause you great harm. And will not remember their sins. Now, I love the word remember. Will not, don't even remember it. You know what it means to remember? It means to preserve the memory of, to bring back to mind something that you had in mind before, to preserve the memory of it. So don't preserve that memory. Don't rehearse it. You know, we used to, Wayne's dad was a farmer, and when we got married, Wayne thought everybody farmed. And we had property, and so we farmed for a while, and I can can beans, and I can can tomatoes, and I can make all kinds of pickles. I never did think that was a good idea. It was Wayne's idea, and we cooperated with that. And we did that for years. We'd take Joel out the garden to pick beans. We grew green sleeves, which is a kind of green bean that doesn't lose their color. They are green, 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 grass green. No matter what you do to them, they are grass green. I loved that. A wonderful flavor. And Joel would say, don't they sell these at the store? He hated that. Well, when you put them in a jar, you have special usually salts, vinegars, and pickles and other things. You're trying to preserve them. You want, when you open that jar, for there to be no germs and nothing in that jar that would be detrimental to your health. You want to be able to eat them. And it says you're not going to, some things are going to destroy your mind, going to destroy your spirit, going to destroy your standing with God, going to keep you from being forgiven, and you do not want to preserve those things. Don't rehearse them. Don't preserve them. When you remember something, you're preserving it. Now, you can preserve some good things. You can preserve Christmas memories. You can preserve good memories about your family that's gone on to be with the Lord. In fact, you ought to preserve those things in your thinking. But there's some things you don't want to preserve. Some things. You know, there was a website, Wayne was piddling with a computer, and there's a website of interesting food products around the world. Canned mudfish. You just would be surprised. It's actually kind of regurgitating the whole website. You're not interested in preserving any of those kind of things. Not in the spirit. Don't preserve it. Isn't that a wonderful word? Don't preserve it. Don't remember it. Don't rehash it. Don't restore it. Years ago, a lady asked me, aren't you so-and-so's good friend? I said, yeah, I know her. We were friends. And she said, what happened? I never see her here anymore. I never see you with her. Well, I'm trying to explain what happened. I really should have said, well, it doesn't matter anymore. But I tried to explain it to her, and after a while, she said, that makes no sense to me. And I said, you know, it makes no sense to me anymore either. Because I had so not rehearsed it. I had so, and it took a lot of time. It takes time sometimes to forgive and forget. But see, you have to know that's the command of God. That's what God said for you to do. And if you don't do that, you're going to be in just a tad of trouble because you give entrance to the devil. He loves unforgiveness, and he comes into your life through unforgiveness so many times. So he says, you're going to forgive, and you're going to forget. You're not going to remember. You're not going to preserve that memory of it. Now look at Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 12. You know, you're better off to say to somebody, you know, I just can't talk about it. Thanks for being interested. I try to be kind. I wanted to say, you know, you're too nosy, but I didn't say that. I said, thanks for being interested in my peace. I just can't talk about it. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God says, I am not going to remember. In other words, he decides not to remember. And that's where it begins for you. You decide not to remember. That means you decide not to rehearse it. You decide not to preserve it. Now, forgiveness has two constant companions. They're both mentioned in Ephesians 4 that we read. One is mercy, and it's mentioned here. And the other is kindness. And without these two companions, forgiveness is difficult. If you're not going to preserve it, you're not going to remember it, you're not going to rehearse it, what are you going to do? You know, an empty vessel has trouble. We found that out when we discovered the works of the devil. Empty vessel, the devil comes back. So if you're not going to preserve it, you're not going to remember it, you are going to blot it out, you're not going to rehearse it, what are you going to do? We'll go back to Ephesians. Let's look at it one more time. Where you see, be kind one to another. This is what you are going to do. You're not going to remember it. You're going to be kind. We're talking about being kind to the enemy. Jesus asked forgiveness for those that crucified him. Do you think they were asking for forgiveness? They were not. The fact that they don't want to be forgiven, they don't want a relationship with you, they hope you drop off the map, they hope you get what's coming to you, has nothing to do with your attitude about life or your attitude about them. You have to do the right thing. You have to follow the scripture. And the scripture says, to forgive, forget, blot out, don't preserve it, don't rehash it. I do believe you have one close friend that'll help you stay in line with the scripture, that'll hear your words and remind you what God had to say and come into agreement with you. And I think that's very, very helpful. Otherwise, you probably shouldn't talk about it. Now we're going to be kind. Now, kindness is not simply an attitude. It's an attitude that results in action. If I say my neighbor's very kind to his wife, how would I know that? Because I had seen him open the door for her when she get in the car. I'd seen him hang out the clothes on the line when the dryer broke. I had seen some things. You have to see kindness. It's not just a vapor. It has to be seen. And to be kind means to be benevolent or do something useful. It means to do something constructive. Now, there's constructive and there's destructive. You understand destructive. So we're not talking about destructive. We're talking about do that which is constructive, that which helps, that which benefits. Well, what would help in this situation? Well, see, we got the Holy Ghost. Thank God. My favorite story is a little lady told me, she used to go to church here, that she was fixing a taco salad, a taco casserole it was, and she and her neighbor had not spoken for some time, had a disagreement over something or other, and had not spoken for a long time, and she wasn't interested in speaking to her neighbor. And her neighbor wasn't really interested in speaking to her either, so the feeling was mutual. But see, what your neighbor does has nothing to do with what you're going to do. What your husband does, what your wife does, what your children do, has nothing to do with you. You have to follow God. And God said, I want you to forgive it. I want you to forget it. I want you not to preserve the memory of it. I want you to turn loose of it. Well, some situations that's very difficult, but the Holy Ghost, my, he knows how to do it. He knows how to orchestrate. And so she was impressed to fix a taco casserole for her neighbor, but she didn't want to. So she said, well, it's already late in the afternoon, Lord. I'm sure she's got her supper fixed. Making excuses. Hearing the command of the Lord, knowing that she wasn't in any doubt that she'd heard from heaven. She knew she'd heard from heaven. And the Lord persisted, and she said, well, you know, this is real spicy. I'm sure they don't like real spicy. She said, I told the Lord all those things. He said he wouldn't let up. Because God is about to solve some things. He's about to bring a solution here. By the Spirit, he's bringing you an idea that's going to work for you. You know what I do? I call the florist and send flowers. I said jokingly, only sometimes it's not a joke. You get flowers from me, it may be very happy with you, it may be very mad with you. And I'm not doing that for your benefit, I'm doing it for mine. And if I get a bad waitress, I double my tip. Because I'm not going to let their attitude affect my attitude. We were in a restaurant, and had the most pathetic waitress. I still remember the most pathetic waitress, and I'm just about to complain to the manager, which is not the thing that I would ordinarily do, but I thought enough is enough. And so she came back to the table, finally. She messed everything up, got everything wrong. She comes back to see if all is well, which all wasn't well. And I said, "Are you having a good day?" And she sat down beside me and sobbed. I said, "Thank God I restrained myself and didn't call the manager." Well, this lady went to her neighbor's door with a casserole, finally got it together, knocked on the door, said, "I was fixing a casserole for my family, and I fixed one for your family as well." And the neighbor sat down and cried. And they cried together, and they got over it. See, the Holy Ghost knows. If you'll do your part, he knows how to fix it. Jesus can fix it. He knows how to fix it. Well, what you're going to do is be kind. You're going to do something benevolent. One lady told me she and her mother-in-law had had a row. And I don't know the mother-in-law, don't know her husband, but I'm listening. I'm thinking, oh, brother, you know, I only ever get one side of the story. So that's why I'm real reluctant to say anything, because I don't know what your husband would say or what your neighbor would say or what your boss would say. So I'm real reluctant to unless the Lord speaks to me, I really can't speak to you except to agree with you that there is a divine solution. Well, she and her mother-in-law had a row, and she asked me what I would do, and she'd had it. They'd had several, and her husband was on his mother's side, basically, and she didn't know what to do, and I said I'd send her flowers. She says, "You mean like real flowers? Like from the florist?" She said, "Why? Why would I do that?" I said, "Because you want to walk with God. And God says, do something, be kind. Forgiveness always takes action. Forgiveness is never neutral. It's not a mental attitude. It's what you do. It's what you do. It's what you do. What are you going to do?" So she sent the flowers and called me, and she couldn't believe it herself. She said, "Do you know that smoothed everything over? How did you know that?" I said, "It's in the Bible." That's what God said. You know, if I'd been trying to figure out how to, you know, my idea of solving a problem is just never speak to you again. That's just who I am. I don't need to be harassed by you. But I can't do that because it's not godly. It's not right. It's not what God has ordered. I have to think, boy, now what am I going to do? You know, and the neighbors aren't bothering me. I hardly even know who they are. It's Wayne Cumbie that really gets to me. I get to him sometimes, too. And now Daddy's living with us. If you think that's fun, you haven't done it yet. And I have to all the time say, "Now, Becky, what are you going to do? If I want to forget it, I'm going to have to do something and place that spot in my mind and my heart that is not going to remember with what I did for them. I'm not going to leave myself vacant or empty. I'm going to place the spot that's empty because I'm forgetting it. It's empty because I'm not remembering. It's empty because I'm not preserving it. I'm going to have to put something else in there. It's what you're going to do." Well, God has wonderful, wonderful ideas. And you just sit in his presence till he tells you what you need to do. And if he doesn't say anything, flowers is the call of the day. And when I call my florist, I said, "Becky Cumbie." And she says, "Okay, nosegay, what price range?" Because that's what I do. I also do that for birthdays, anniversaries, so I don't just do that because I'm mad. But I don't. You can't afford to be mad, and I'm going to show you in Scripture why. Now look at Matthew. You have to do something. You have to do something, do something, do something. And it's everywhere in the Scripture. Verse 44 of chapter 5 says, "Love your enemy." That's the word agape, and it means deliberate assent of the will. Agape is not a feeling. The love of God is not a feeling, it's a decision to do what God said to do. And this is the word agape or agapeo, which means do something for your enemy. It's a love that does, a love that decides to do. Just like forgiveness is what you decide to do, it's not a feeling. Feelings are always the caboose of the train. You run the train by the engine, which is the word of the living God and what God has said. You follow that engine, you crank up the word, you crank up the engine, you head down the track. You do that, you do that. And then down the line, the caboose comes and you feel warm and wonderful. But you don't move because you feel warm and wonderful. You move because God has spoken. And because God's way is going to work for you. It's going to clear the air for you. Years ago, a lady called me to pray for her about her family. She had a split family, you know, their side and our side. And she wanted to get them all together for dinner. And she'd already been informed that would never work. Never work, never work. You can't do that. We won't come. But one side came to see if the other side came. And the other side came to see if the other side came. That worked out fine. And she just wanted me to help her pray about it. And it brought real reconciliation. It was the Spirit of the Lord. it really solved their problem. They gave her a nice present for being the person in the middle to be the reconciler. See, she did something. She did something. It says, love your enemies. Do something. It says, bless them that curse you. Now, that can start with words, but it has to be more than words. And then it says, what? Do good to them that hate you. You know, that's the last thing you want to do is do good. Somebody hates you. They despise you. They've been on your back. They have pain in the neck. Everything they've done is hurt and harassed and harmed. And you hope they move to Kalamazoo and you never see them again. And God says, forgive them. Forget it. Remit it. Don't remember it. Omit it. Remove it from your thinking. Don't preserve that. And get here busy and do something for them. So what if they don't receive you? That's not your problem. That's theirs. Now you can say, Lord, I went. I sent. I did. Now, can you continue to have fellowship with these people? Maybe so. Maybe not. Depends on the situation. You know, if a dog bites you, if your neighbor dog bites you, you quit going in the neighbor's yard until the neighbor muzzles the dog. You should be smart enough not to go back and get bit again. On the other hand, if God sends you, he intends to reconcile. He intends to muzzle the dog. I was at a convention, spotted two ladies I knew from some church somewhere. That's about how it goes. And I said, how are you sisters? And they weren't of our persuasion, and so that didn't, how are you sisters, didn't really mean anything to them. And she said, oh, we're not sisters. I said, I just meant sisters in the Lord. And the other one laughed. She says, well, we're really not sisters. They didn't get it. But she said, we do have the same husband because I married him and I divorced him. She married him. And she said, I just love her. She just loves me. We decided to come to this convention together. We're having a wonderful time. Only God. Only God. The arm of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save. You know, if you see a guy and he says, this is my first wife and my first children, this is my second wife, my second children, you know God has moved miraculously. I don't say that God couldn't or he wouldn't. On the other hand, if your husband beats you up and you go back to him before he really repents and gets straightened out, you're not very wise either. So fellowship is maybe so and maybe not. Is the dog muzzled? That's my question. If I'm going to go back and we're going to be friends, is the dog muzzled? That's what I want to know. You know, if the dog's not muzzled, I'm going to still do something. But I'm not going to get close enough to get bit. You got that analogy?
Yes.
And that's just the way it is. Well, it says you're going to do something. I was teaching a Bible study, and this lady came. She was new to me. She'd never been there before. She came. Somebody invited her. And we taught along this same line that day. And she had somebody that she worked with, a coworker. She normally worked on that day, but she was not working that day. And she had a coworker that they had not gotten along, and they were. It was really harassing her. And she leaped to her feet right in the middle of my lesson. She says, I can do that. I can do that. And then all of a sudden, she just almost collapsed. And I said, what's the matter? What's the matter? She said, I just had a flash of her face. Her heart was willing, but her mind said, no, 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 no. She said, what would you suggest? I said, donuts on your coffee break. She said, I could do that. We love donuts. See, what are you going to do? Do. You know, this is profound. You know what do is? It's something you do. That's profound, isn't it? So what are you going to do? Say, I'm going to do nothing. I hope she gets what's coming to her. Let me show you what's going to happen to you. Turn to Matthew 6. Right there while you're right there. Verse 14. If you forgive men their trespasses, if you do, that means if you follow God, if you walk with God, if you obey his commands, if you do. Forgive men their trespasses. Your heavenly Father will forgive you. That's a good deal. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness prevents the forgiveness of God from coming to you. It's a roadblock. It's a barricade. God will not go around your unforgiveness to forgive you. You know, they put roadblocks in the road. They've been repairing our roads. Got them down to one lane and no lane. Sometimes you have to wait at the little man with the sign. Feel sorry for him. Been standing there all day with slow and go, you know. Thank God he's working. I said, thank God, sir. Go ahead. You're working. But you have that roadblock and that barrier that hinders you. Well, sometimes we have some things in our mind that hinder us. Don't think about it. I just don't think about it. God says, don't preserve that. Cast down imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When you cast something down, you throw it down. Don't pick it back up. Now, the devil's a busy person. He has people. And he has sometimes works independently of people. He comes on his own, sends his friends and to harass you, to remind you. She said, and I said, and he said, and they said, and then I did, and they did. And they didn't understand. How could they do that to me? And I never have talked to them again. I believe it was Dr. Kenneth Hagin talked about seeing a relative on the street where there'd been some tension and attempted to cross the other side of the street and not speak to him. But he went directly to him, spoke to him, and said, "Will you forgive me?" Now listen to me. This is the most important thing I'm going to say. You are the one that repents if you have knowledge that the situation needs a solution. You don't have to be guilty to repent. You're not waiting for the guilty person to repent because the guilty person may not be coming. You're the one who knows something needs to be done. You're the one who does it. And all you have to say, "I'm so sorry that happened. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry there's tension between us. Please forgive me." The one who knows that something must be done is the one who goes and does it. And it doesn't mean you're guilty of anything. It means you know that God is not into unforgiveness. And if we don't take this roadblock, this barricade down, I'm going to hinder and hamper my life. Let's read that again because it's in Mark 11. It's in the scripture several times. Unforgiveness will strangle the very life and nature of God that's in you. Now, Mark 11, 23 and 24, verse 24 in particular is about prayer. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And A-N-D connects the thoughts together. He's talking about prayer. When you stand praying, forgive. Unforgiveness prevents prayer from being answered. In other words, we're praying by faith. But you know what keeps faith from working? Lack of love. If you're not following the love of God, then your faith is not going to work. Scripture says faith works by love. Thank God it says faith works, but it says faith works by love. We could have electricity to this building, but if we don't flip the switches, then we're sitting in the dark. And the thing that flips the switches and keeps the power of God coming into your life is how you walk in love, how you follow God's love. And the good news is God's love is not a feeling. Feelings are the caboose. God's love is a decision. I've decided to follow God. I've decided to forgive. I've decided to forget this. It's a decision. So if I'm not walking in love, my faith won't work. If my faith won't work, my prayer won't be answered. And unforgiveness is not in love. You can't walk in love and be unforgiving. You can't walk in love and be unforgiving. So if you're unforgiving, you're not in love. And if you're not in love, your faith won't work. If your faith won't work, your prayer won't be answered. So two dramatic things we see. If you're not forgiving, God doesn't forgive. He will not go around your unforgiveness to forgive you. He said, "I won't do it." And he can't answer your prayer either because you're not in a position for your faith to work. And look at this verse. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive in your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's something, isn't it? Something, something, something. Now, the fact that I don't feel like I'm forgiven has nothing to do with it. It is not a feeling. It is a decision and an action. You can make the decision and take the correct action and still feel unforgiving. Your feelings are immaterial. They have nothing to do with forgiveness. You did what God told you to do. You went, you did, you sent, you gave. And when it comes to your memory, you say, "No, I've followed God." And the fact is, if I don't feel like I forgive. One lady said, "I want a sign from God that I've forgiven." Huh? You ain't going to get any sign from God that you've forgiven. It's not a feeling. It's not a sign. This is not a sign business. If God said forgive, so okay, I'm going to do that. Because you said so. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to send flowers or send candy. I'm going to make a visit. You know, they'd be real surprised if you showed up at their doorstep, wouldn't they? Well, I say, "Holy Spirit, what can I do today? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, How can I make this go away? Now look back at Luke 6. Your failure to forgive and do something will not hurt them. It will hurt you. This is a powerful, powerful scripture, Luke 6, verse 35. Love your enemy. Jesus loved his enemy. He forgave his enemy. It's a decision you make, not a feeling. And do good. This is the second time we've seen that. What? Not think good. It doesn't say think good. What does it say? Do it. And lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. The children of the highest. That means this is what God would do. See, God said, I want you to forgive like I forgive. And this is what he would do. He said, I want to tell you what I would do. And I want you to do what I would do. He is kind. Kindness is an action, a benevolence, doing something constructive unto the unthankful and to the evil. So you have got to be kidding me. See, we don't want to do that. We just really don't want to do that. After what you said, after what you did, after what you did to my children, you know, I don't get so riled up you step on my toe. But if you step on my children's toe, I get just kind of a little upset with you. I want to say, back off! Even though my children are adults and they can say back off for themselves, I still feel led. So I'm going to do something for the unthankful. In other words, they're not going to be glad you came. You get that? They're not going to be glad you came. They're not going to be glad you sent flowers. They're going to say, I wonder what she's up to. She's clearing her heart with God. That's what she's up to. They're not going to be glad you came. And they're evil, and maybe they're not repentant. Maybe they're going to continue biting. It has nothing to do with what you've done or how you feel. And here's the key. Be merciful, as your Father also is merciful. You will always see forgiveness and mercy and kindness linked together. Kindness, forgiveness, and mercy always linked together. So you're going to have mercy. You're going to be kind. Now look at Micah, which links these together. Micah's in the Old Testament. Start in the middle of your Bible and work backward. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Micah, chapter 7, where you see the strong link of mercy. God says, don't judge them, have mercy. Don't condemn them, have mercy. Don't pronounce them guilty, have mercy. So what if they keep doing it over and over again? Do what you need to do and walk away. I don't stand there and get bit again. That's not the idea of God at all. Clear your heart. Do what you must do. Bake the casserole. Bake the cake. Babysit with the children. Mow their lawn. One lady said, what are you doing? She said, I'm mowing the neighbor's lawn. I said, I don't want to do that. What do you want to do? Be mad? You know, there's been one time I was so mad. I was so mad. Wayne said, are you going to forgive? I said, not today. Here's my excuse. The sun had already gone down. I thought maybe I had till tomorrow. Tomorrow at sundown. I thought maybe I had 24 hours to get over it. Verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity? Now you're going to do what he does, so pay attention to what he does. Chapter 7, or whatever the last chapter, is that 7? Yes. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity? We're going to do what God does. God says, I'm going to forget it. I'm going to blot it out. I'm going to omit it. I'm going to do kind things for them. You know, Matthew, he said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. When it comes to the matter of forgiveness, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Passes by. You're going to pass by it. You're going to keep remembering it. The transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retains not his anger forever. You know, Scripture says, be angry and sin not. It means you can be angry and sin. You can be angry and not sin. So it doesn't say you don't be angry about it. It says you're going to get over it and not sin. Get over it and don't sin. Why? Because he delights in mercy. Wonderful word, delight. You know, you may delight in chocolate and I delight in lemon. Here a lemon, there a lemon. Everywhere lemon, you know. Love lemon. Lemon pound cake, lemon orange box cake. Shh. Lemon poppy seed muffins. Can't eat any of the above. Lemon in your tea is about as far as I get these days. But I love lemon. God says, and I love mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. You know what they deserve is not your call. You think it is, but it's not. He said, he will turn again. That word means he's going to retreat from his anger. He'll have compassion. He'll subdue or disregard or conquer our iniquities. and cast our sins into the depths of the sea. That's what God said, I want you to do. You do what I'm doing. Cast that sin, cast it in the depth of the sea, cast that unforgiveness, cast that difficult moment, cast those harsh words, throw them out and don't retrieve them. Don't remember them. Don't preserve them in your memory. Don't bring to mind again something that was in your mind once before. Isn't that something? God will perform truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham. Whew. Forgiveness and mercy. You're doing this because you're following God and God's merciful and you're merciful. Merciful is when you don't get what you did deserve. Now look at James, I believe it is. Verse 11, chapter 4. Ha, 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 Satan, you can't win. Ha, 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 ha. Speak not evil of one another, brethren, unless they make you mad. Unless they step on your toes, unless they criticize your children. No, it just says don't do it. Well, you know, the more you speak evil, the more you're preserving that memory. You're causing it to be embedded in your mind and in your spirit. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother, decides their guilt or innocence, decides what sentence they should have, what judgment and what condemnation should come, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you're a judge of the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, you are the judge or the doer. That's the point. Are you the one who judges the law, who's qualified to judge, or are you the one who's supposed to be doing and following? We're talking about the law of love. Are you the doer or the judge? And see if I condemn them, hope they get what's coming to them, speak evil of them, criticize them. Philippians says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. All things. Then I become the judge. It'd be terrible to have a job you're not qualified. Just in the natural to have a job you're not really qualified for that you really can't do. And eventually you'll know that and they'll know that. And they'll say, you know, would you like to be moved to another job or would you like to resign before we fire you or... God says, you're not qualified to judge. Now look at Romans 12. One lady gave a marvelous prophecy in church. Marvelous prophecy. But there was a man in that service who couldn't receive that prophecy because he had seen her the night before go into a bar. And he said, I can't believe why God would use her. He could tell the prophecy was the Lord. He said, I can't believe why God would use her. Yesterday she's in a bar. So he said, I'm just going to ask God. He says, God, why'd you do that? She was in a bar yesterday. She's not qualified to prophesy. God said, oh, I didn't remember that. You know why? Talked to her later. She went in that bar. She came to herself and she left. She says, I'm not supposed to be in here. I don't do this anymore. And she left. God said, oh, I didn't remember that. He's what he tells you to do. He said, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Don't remember it. Don't preserve it. Omit it. Remove it. Banish it. And the way to fill that void that you've banished is to plant kindness and plant mercy. Do something. Verse 17, chapter 12, recompense to no man evil for evil. In other words, you kick me, I kick you. You spit on me, I spit on you. No, we're going to give mercy and kindness. We're not in the evil business. Recompense is to repay or give back or deliver. Now look at verse 19. Dearly beloved, that be you and me. Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. And that really is rather give God a place. In other words, God's going to handle the wrath side. If there's any punishment or judgment, you're not qualified. God's going to do that. Leave it alone. You're the one who does something kind, does something merciful. You're the one that bakes the cake. You're the one that apologizes. So, but I wasn't guilty. Years ago, I was not guilty. A lady said, can I talk to you a minute? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I have a decision to make. I can do A, B, or C. I'm just noticing she's talking to me. She's forgotten D. And I just said to her, you know, you could do D. We were standing out in front of her house. She stomped in her house and slammed the door and didn't speak to me for weeks. And I didn't do anything wrong. And I'm just telling you, I wasn't guilty of anything. Now, sometimes I am guilty, but I wasn't guilty that day. And I thought, you know, she must be mad. She can just be mad. That was what my attitude was. And God kept saying, call her. And I said, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not calling her. And he wouldn't let me alone. Thank God. God gets on your case till you submit. I love that about God. Don't take too long, though. He said, leave Ephraim alone. He's turned into his idols. there comes a day God's not going to tell you again. So I called her and I said, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And honestly, I didn't want to do it because I wasn't guilty of anything. I didn't even tell her what to do. I didn't know what she should do. I said, you know, you should consider this other option. I think you've forgotten an option. That was the very thing God wanted her to do, and she'd marked that off her list because that's what she didn't want to do. That's what she did later, and it worked out perfect for her. But see, at that time, she wasn't really to submit to option D, and that's why I so irritated her, but I didn't know that any of that at the time. And when I called her on the phone, she said, no, you forgive me. It's my fault. I wanted to rise up and say, it certainly is. But when you do that, you're judging. You're judging. You don't know how much pressure she'd been in trying to make this decision. See, don't do it. You're not in the judging. You can't avenge. You can't retaliate. If anything needs to be done, God's going to do it. You're not qualified. You're supposed to be the one applying mercy. If God stepped out to judge them, you should beg him to be merciful to them. Please, God, please, God, please be merciful. Please give them a second chance. You know that's what children will do. You're going to whip one. And the other one will say, oh, no, he didn't mean it, he didn't mean it, he didn't mean it, he didn't really mean it. We had a relative that had three girls and applied for a divorce. And she was in the hospital. He was hit by, they were putting up a TV antenna on the house and were hit by, he was hit by lightning. It came down the antenna and hit her as well. And they were in separate hospitals, very, very ill, very, very critically ill. And they had these three girls. Well, during Easter, some choir came through their hospital. They're not, it's not Florida couple. And the choir came through the hospital singing Easter songs, and she got born again. And then they reconciled, and she got pregnant. Well, the lightning had damaged and destroyed these stomach muscles, and so pregnancy wasn't a good idea for her. But she had thought she had heard from God that God had said this time you'd have a little boy. And so the doctor knew that, and so when the little boy was born, that was in the days where you didn't know what was happening, you know. Those were not bad days, by the way, for we who lived those days. And said, it's another little girl. And they looked at one another. She looked at him, and he looked at her. And finally he said, no, it can't be a girl. It's a boy. God said it was a boy. And it was a little boy. Well, there was reconciliation. They had trauma. But when Jesus came, they had reconciliation. You see that? God's going to fix it. If you do right. If you do right. Well, those three little girls protected that little boy. They were quite a bit older than him. And they protected him with a vengeance. We were there when he did something he shouldn't do. Even I thought he shouldn't do it. As merciful as I can be. That's a joke, by the way. I'm a person of law. And the daddy's going to whip him. He takes him around the corner of the house. And the little girls are all three standing there at the corner saying, no, daddy, no, daddy, don't whip him, don't whip him, don't whip him. Give him another chance, give him another chance. And that's what God wants you to do. He said, beg me for mercy. Ask me. No, God, don't give him another chance. They'll repent. They will. They will. Don't give up on them. Tune them in again. Speak to them again. Don't retaliate. Don't judge. Don't avenge. You're a person of great mercy. And the mercy of heaven will go out of you into them. Ask God for mercy. Do kind things and stand for repentance and mercy. And then back off if they're still biting. You know, when you counsel married couples, the first thing you want to know is your husband dangerous or are you dangerous? I talked to one lady, broke her husband's arm. She hit him with an iron skillet and broke his arm. So it was not him that was her. That was, you know, she was the dangerous one. So it doesn't matter. You don't want her to be in a dangerous situation. And if there is danger, you've got to separate them just to protect them. But your goal is to bring repentance and reconciliation and bring things back together. And that's your goal, is no matter what it takes, is to bring this back together. I don't care what it takes. I'm forgiven. I'm forgetting. I'm not preserving it. I'm not remembering it. I'm omitting it. I'm doing something. I'm baking a cake. I'm sending flowers. I'm sending candy. I'm calling them on the phone. I'm asking them to forgive me, even though I didn't think I was guilty, because I'm just like God. I'm kind to the unthankful and the evil, just like God is. That's what he told you to do. Now, I want to read you one more scripture before we quit. 1 Peter 4:8. My, the scripture helps us. If we just hear and obey, hear and obey. This is about preserving it and not remembering it. A marvelous verse, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, that makes this a priority. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love, charity is love, it's agape, it's love of decision, love shall cover a multitude of sins. Cover how many? Cover how many? A multitude. You know, the disciples came to Jesus and said, how many times should we forgive our brother? Seven times? What did Jesus say? 70 times seven. That was not in a week or a month. That was in a day. 490 times a day. If they do this 490 times in one day, 490 times, you're going to say, I forgive you. That's a lot of flowers. Isn't it? We thank you, Father, for instructing us in the mighty name of Jesus, for helping us. We're going to lay some things aside. We're going to do some things today. We're going to in you abide. We're not going to have the devil on our case because we're in his territory through unforgiveness. We thank you. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. Jesus' name. In 2 Corinthians, Paul spoke to the church at Corinth about forgiveness. And he said, you need to forgive lest Satan get an advantage of you. Unforgiveness gives Satan the advantage. Unforgiveness prevents God from forgiving you, and it prevents prayer from being answered. You don't want to be there. Let's do our part.